welcome to Inside Disney Weddings. I'm your host, Scott Shepherd, along with my lovely and talented co-host, Carrie Hayward. Every week, we talk about different aspects of Disney's fairy tale weddings and honeymoons, from the latest news, product reviews, and money-saving tips, to in-depth interviews and event coverage. We also feature special guests, including industry experts and real Disney brides and grooms. Hear it all with Inside Disney Weddings, the only program devoted to Disney's fairy tale weddings and honeymoons. Would you like to join us on Inside Disney Weddings? We would love to hear your story of your Disney fairy tale wedding or honeymoon. Email us, radio@insidedisneyweddings.com. I would love to hear about your wedding. We want to hear anything and any story you have about your wedding, vow renewal, honeymoon. Email us, radio@insidedisneyweddings.com. We'd love to hear from you. Today on Inside Disney Weddings, we're going to be here with Pat Conley. Pat is a fabulous DJ out of Southern California and does lots of Disney weddings, and he does a lot of cool things that we're going to talk about today. Pat's a great guy, and you guys are going to dig what he's up to. Pat, how you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good, buddy. Thanks for joining us here on Inside Disney Weddings. Great to have you on the program to talk about yourself, your DJing, and I really wanted to chat here after a bit about your lighting effects and things that you've been working on that I think is quite cool. So thanks for joining us on the program today, pal.
It's my pleasure.
Well, I always like to start at the beginning, so I would be curious to know how you even got into DJing in the first place.
Well, I started back in the early 90s. I was a nightclub DJ for a long time. And after being in the industry for a few years, I was realizing because I don't smoke and I don't drink, I'm a horrible club material to begin with. So I eventually started kind of getting into weddings. What inspired me, I think, was the DJ that did my wedding when I got married. And even though it was a different application, I felt that that was a really fun and entertaining thing. And I kind of got involved into starting to do weddings back in 1997, and it kind of took off from there. So I've been DJing weddings ever since and retired from nightclubs.
And then how did you get into doing Disney weddings?
Oh, gosh. I've been a Disney fan for a long time and was always just kind of jazzed about someone that wanted to get married at Disney that would even consider me to be their entertainment. I had started shooting messages back and forth with Carly over at the Disney Wedding Blog. We just kind of developed a little bit of a friendship there, and I started advertising on the blog. Before you knew it, I had an interested person that was wanting to have me do their wedding, and it's been great ever since.
So, Pat, what all is included in your DJ setup? When somebody pays your fee, what do they get?
Well, essentially, they get everything. I mean, my services personally, of course, I'm a fully qualified disc jockey and MC. The difference is not only can I play the music when it comes time to making any and all the necessary announcements, those are all done by me, plus I also act as client's on-site wedding coordinator if they are not as fortunate to be able to have someone kind of steering the ship, so to speak, when it comes to making sure, let's say, the best man and the maid of honor are ready to go when they're supposed to be giving their toast, giving them the heads up, working with any of the other vendors, photographer, videographer, caterer, just to make sure that before I get on the microphone, before I start making the announcements to keep the party going, when it comes to the direction, I'm making sure that they're where they need to be, so when I get on the microphone to say it, it's going to come to fruition. It's not just like, I say it and, okay, hope everything is right.
That's very cool. That's a great added feature to your services. And so what all comes with the DJ package? When someone hires you, do you bring the lights and the dance floor and the smoke machine, or is that stuff provided by Disney?
I provide all my own lighting, and when it comes to any kind of effects, that's all supplied by me. The basic package, when someone purchases my services, I mean, there's the basic lighting package that they get for free, which is some lighting for your dance floor. But, of course, there's other things that they could purchase depending on how crazy they want to go with this thing. If they want to do architectural uplighting, if they want to do projections like we do a Starry Night projection on the ceiling, if they want everything from a spotlight on the cake table to a full-color volumetric laser scanning show, we can certainly accommodate them as well, too.
That's cool. What are usually the most popular additions?
The most popular addition is uplighting. Since the advent of LED technology, there's been a great amount of interest in the service that we do provide. A lot of DJs do this as well, too, where we can now take a venue and really try to tie it into the theme of the wedding by using color. If your color is purple, or it's teal green, or it's blue, or red, or magenta, we can change these lights to enhance the room with color and, again, try to tie it into the theme of the wedding. But pretty much the most popular thing right now is uplighting.
And then do your prices fluctuate by time of year? I know that, at least in Florida, the DJ prices can almost double at the holidays, like Christmas and, well, mostly Christmas. Is that the case out in Southern California also?
Yes. Some companies do that, but I'm pretty straightforward when it comes to my pricing. It stays the same Friday, Saturday, Sundays. There is a difference when it comes to work during the week, but in respect of not necessarily discounting the price of the service, because I always felt like if you discount the price of the service, you don't want to let the client think that you're going to discount the quality of the service. So I'd be more inclined to give them additional services at very little or for free as incentive to book something during the week. So I don't discount the price, but other services can add up, and I'd be more than happy to throw those in if that sweetens the deal with a client.
That's a great tip for brides and grooms to know when they're planning, and another reason to maybe think about having a weekday wedding.
Yes, absolutely.
Pat, let's talk about what it means to have a DJ. A lot of people have been to weddings where the DJ sort of runs the program and they go off on these crazy antics. They do the chicken dance, the Wookiee shuffle, and all these cool things. Now, can I have that or not have it? What's it mean to really have a DJ, and what do you do?
Well, I will say that the stigma of having a DJ is just that, someone that's going to be very interactive and kind of out there. And that's not always the case with every company. What I try to do is I try to add some elegance and professionalism to what I do. I can be fun without being funny. I'm not at somebody's wedding to make myself center of attention. I'm not there to juggle. I'm not there to tell jokes. I'm not there to dance with any of the guests. I think that kind of DJing is kind of really tarnishes what the professionals do. And if that works for them, that's great. But for me, I prefer to let the music do the talking and let people get enthused about the music and playing good music versus me having to resort to dancing to make people feel like, oh, it's time to dance now.
So then how do you tailor each event to the bride and groom's level of wanting the antics or not wanting the antics or the kind of music that they like? Do you have an interview with them beforehand or?
Yeah, the initial planning stages of anything, I always do an interview process with the client. It's a no obligation consultation where we sit down and I find out from the client what their goals are here, what they're really looking to achieve. And if they're wanting that kind of DJ, that's not what I do. But that's what people come to me with as what they don't want. So I never really have that issue. It's always coming to me and saying, well, are you going to be one of those DJs that is going to dance with everybody and make jokes? And I try to reassure them, no, I'm not going to be one of those DJs. But I do try to tailor to every client because for me, it's not a rubber stamp. For me, it's trying to take the things that are most important to each individual client and put their ideas together in a way that's going to make sense. Because sometimes people are all over the place. We want to do this, we want to do that. Okay, let's do this and put it into perspective. And we want there to be a flow, not a collage.
So with that, do you accept must play or do not play lists from the bride and groom? And also, are you open to taking requests on the spot from guests?
Absolutely. I believe the power and strength in any DJ is keeping a dance floor going and keeping everybody happy, because that's what I'm also there to do. If the client is particular when it comes to music, I mean, we can, I think, be particular to a point. I am more than happy to take must plays and play if possible, dedications, and even do not plays. If someone is really not big on Lady Gaga for whatever reason, then that's fine. We don't have to play any. There's still a lot of music to pick from. On the other hand, when it comes to taking requests, I'd be more than happy to take requests from any of the guests, providing it falls within the client's guidelines. If the clients say no Lady Gaga, somebody comes up, not putting it off onto the bride and groom, because I know that if I say, well, the client said that they prefer not to have it, then the first thing they're going to do is go up to the client, and that's what I don't want. So I'm going to kind of go, oh, gosh, I've got all this other great music here. What about this song? And I can usually, in no time at all, talk them into something else even better, and we go from there.
That's great. So can you tell us a little bit about what happens when the Disney characters show up to the reception?
When Mickey and Minnie make their entrance, I would typically play something like Mickey Mouse Club theme or something from Fantasmic. When you give the bride and groom a nice grand entrance, boom, they come in. That's the segue into the cake cutting. Unless Ari requests something else from the clients, they typically come in right to the cake with the clients, and they help with the cake cutting, which I think is awesome. They do all the pictures there. And they also stay around for a little while and do more photo sessions with the bride and groom and the family. And I think it's amazing, especially when you can match your colors. There's a certain selection of colors that they do provide that Mickey and Minnie can show up in to, again, be matching. So I think it's great when it happens.
Now, what would you say you like most about doing Disney weddings compared to just other kinds of weddings?
Well, I will say I'm a little bit biased because I'm a Disney fan. I've always enjoyed weddings because no place are you more in harmony when you're playing to a group of people that's in a good mood, they're happy, and they're just gracious. Weddings are the truest sense of that. And then when you put a Disney spin on it, I think that the magic and the excitement of it, of being part, words do not describe. That's the best way I can describe that, if that makes any sense.
We'd be curious to get your thoughts on the practice, which we actually did at our wedding, of having an iPod instead of a DJ. Now, we did it because we weren't having dancing and we had a short brunch reception. So it seemed to fit with what we were doing. But what do you think? I mean, it sounds like if you want to have dancing, if you want to have someone who's sort of emceeing and making sure the day goes smoothly, what are your thoughts on DJ versus iPod?
Well, when it comes to an iPod, all it really is just a mass storage of music. That's really all it is. There's nothing to it. So if you're having a simple application, I mean, if it's just a lunch and you want just background music, then that's fine, if there's no real dancing involved. But when it comes to having something that you're going to have your meal, and then you're going to have your special dances, and then you're going to have your 2 hours or 3 hours of dance party thereafter, the amount of energy that a DJ produces versus an iPod produces, you're talking about 100% versus no percent. The DJ is going to be the one reading the crowd. The DJ is going to be the one making sure those transitions happen from track to track, beat matching those songs so it goes from one track to the next to the next. The other thing, too, is an iPod's not going to automatically edit any music. What we do as DJs is if you've got a four-minute track, there's only about maybe 2.5, 3 minutes of meat of that track that people dance to before they eventually start going, we want the next song to start. And then when you start seeing the shoulders drop and the elbows drop, that's when you kind of know now is the time to mix in your next track. So you're going to get the music mixed from track to track. You're going to get the announcements, and you're going to get that guy that's taking the music and doing something with it. It'd be the same thing if you were to buy just a whole bunch of food and say, here's a bunch of raw food. But now who's going to cook it?
That's the deal, right? If you got no chef, well, you just got a bunch of raw food laying on the table. Same thing with music. You got an iPod with 20,000 songs, well, good luck, bro.
Yeah, you have a bunch of food, but no one really to take it and make it special.
Pat, let's talk about craziness. Tell me about the wildest thing that's ever happened to you at a Disney wedding. I mean, there must have been something that you can recall back on that's very memorable about a Disney wedding.
Fortunately, I've never seen anything bad. The good I've definitely seen was I've seen one groom at a wedding I did, a real small guy. He was probably about, I'd say 5'5", probably weighed maybe a buck and a half soaking wet. And his groomsmen were considerably bigger than he was. And they proceeded to take turns grabbing his arms and all his appendages and took turns flinging them up in the air. And I was kind of standing there going, okay, just like, please don't drop this guy. It kind of started with him ended up riding on the shoulders of somebody else when we were playing Don't Stop Believin' by Journey. And then all of a sudden, they were throwing him in the air. Probably about 5, 6 times up in the air. And it got some good height, too.
I want to talk about room lighting. You talked about doing up lighting, and LEDs cool because you can change colors and you can match teals with this or blues or whatever you want. But you push the stuff to the next level. Really, I want to talk about this volumetric, three-dimensional laser projection system that you're doing that is really unique, that we should really post this video on the website. They can see this because you need to see this. Tell us about what you're doing here because this is crazy.
Well, there's a company that I work with here in San Diego called Bliss Lights. We got our start a few years back with a laser project that our lead laser designer by the name of Randy Johnson. He's been involved in designing lasers and working with different aspects of laser geometry since the 1970s, and he's come a long way since then. He needed something to help his daughter sleep at night, and from that, we came up with the original concept, what we call the Bliss Light, and that's the starry sky projection that we do, which is actually a two-tiered effect. One is a luminous blue cloud effect that moves very, very slow, coupled with a laser projection that mimics literally thousands of little pinpoints of light that we call stars. So that mimics the stars. So both patterns together, working together, we call it the nebula star field effect or star cluster. That's another popular term that people seem to use for our effect. That's kind of what it started. And from there, we started experimenting with other aspects of lasers, whether it be frequencies of color and different diffraction grading. which means taking a single laser and slitting it through a special holographic mirror that we designed to make it do different things. One of which is our volumetric scanning system, which we're able to utilize and create different things. Everything from different designs to 3D models and just a bunch of really interesting stuff. We started doing some work a few years ago and still do with Walt Disney Imagineering. They've contracted us out to do different things, one of which is this particles projector that mimics Tinkerbell. And now we're starting to use it a little more on our own. If the clients are looking to, let's say, have Tinkerbell flying around the room at their wedding, we can certainly make that happen.
It is pretty unique, and I think the technology has been inching forward with this. Like you said, it's an algorithmic, volumetric, geometry-based deal. This is a lot of work that you guys had to go into to actually plot and make this laser do these pulse projections that make it look 3D and it fills a room.
Yeah, and I'm very, very fortunate to be attached to the company, and I feel very fortunate to be around all this cool stuff. And it's my love for Disney, and also the president of the company, his name is Alan Lee. He's a pretty big Disney fanatical as well, so when it comes to doing any kind of projects for Disney, we're really excited. And the things that we can come up with and design that will create magic, that's what we like to do.
This is all really great stuff, Pat, and I just want to know, as we're wrapping up here, if you have any tips for brides and grooms as they are looking for a DJ, things they should check about to make sure that they're getting someone who's compatible with their vision for their wedding day.
Yes, definitely. A couple things I could say. One is interview your DJ. Never do anything over the phone. I mean, if you're fortunate enough to meet them in person, I mean, if you're coming in for a destination, try to schedule a meeting. Sit down, speak with them, listen to how they sound, how they present themselves, how they talk. If they're late to their first consultation, that might be something that you might want to consider. So first off, definitely getting to meet them in person, shake their hand, and letting them give you their sales pitch and how they do things. And then ask plenty of questions. That's first and foremost. Number two, when it comes to researching any DJ, make sure they're reputable. Make sure that when you go to their website, it looks like there's content. It looks like they've been around for a while. They've got pictures. They've got information. They take the time to answer a lot of questions. Maybe they do have a frequently asked questions section you might want to take some time and read. Make sure they're insured. That's another real big one. People that do this as a side project to make extra money on weekends typically won't spend a lot of money for things like nice websites or nice attire or insurance and things like that because they don't look at it as a full-time business. So these are things you definitely want to check out. If you see pictures of them not dressed in a nice suit while they're DJing, if they do have pictures, look around the pictures. If you see a bottle of beer next to their DJ station while they're performing, maybe you want to stay away from that. And try to really separate the nightclub guys from the wedding guys. Someone says they're a DJ. DJ is not DJ for everything. There's different applications for a disc jockey. You have to make sure they're a wedding DJ and they know what they're talking about. Just don't take someone because they say they're a DJ.
That's a great tip because there is such a huge difference between a guy that's spinning vinyl at 4 a.m. at a club versus someone that's doing a professional wedding gig. It's so much different.
I got to say, we've been to weddings where the dance floor was just dead because there was some trendy club DJ. And then when we finally started requesting like Michael Jackson and things that people could actually dance to, suddenly the dance floor came alive. And I didn't realize at the time that's what the distinction was. They hadn't hired a wedding DJ. They'd hired a club DJ.
Exactly. And then I can say that because that was where I came from, is the nightclub. And had a friend here in San Diego who works for a very prominent DJ company. I wanted a DJ wedding, so we traded places. I taught him how to work nightclubs, and he taught me how to do weddings, and the rest is history.
Pat, let's talk about your website. Where do people go? Where can they check out all the cool things that you're up to? And I know you'll do travel, so if people want to have Pat do a Orlando-based Walt Disney World wedding with the cool volumetric laser effects with Tinkerbell, you can pack up and roll, right?
Yeah, I absolutely can. I do a lot of things in different states depending on, of course, availability. And the sooner the better. When it comes to booking, the sooner the better. If you want your first pick on anything, not just DJ, but venue, you have to get them at least a minimum a year out. Try 12-month minimum. Sometimes venues only book 17 months or even 18 months, which is fine. The sooner the better. But yes, absolutely, I do travel, and I'd be delighted to talk to anyone when it comes to doing what I do and what I can do for them.
Fabulous stuff, buddy. I really appreciate you joining us here on Inside Disney Weddings. Great to have you on the program to talk about yourself, this great DJ work that you're doing with all the fine folks at Disneyland, and of course, you're available for travel worldwide. They need to go to your website, look at what you're doing. I want to post at least a link or something up on Inside Disney Weddings so they can actually see this volumetric Tinkerbell laser thing. I mean, that alone is worth the trip to Orlando. So it's pretty cool, Pat, and I really appreciate it, buddy.
Hey, thank you. It's my pleasure.
Thanks, Pat.
Thank you.
Well, there you go. Another great Inside Disney Weddings. I've been your host, Scott Shepherd, along with my lovely and talented co-host, Carrie Hayward. We'd love to hear your feedback. Email us, radio@insidedisneyweddings.com. Send over suggestions, guest requests, anything you'd like to hear, we'd love to hear from you. We'll be back next week with more great Inside Disney Weddings.